Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Poet Radio on WGXC. My name is Chris Funkhauser, and this month's edition of the program pays tribute to the great American poet Bernadette Mayer, who passed away in November at the age of 77. Bernadette, as many will know, is associated with the New York School of Poetry and Art, although she spent many years living in the Berkshires, including her last years in East Nassau, New York, also known as Poetry State Forest. She was a prodigious poet, writer, and editor, and was director of the Poetry Project at St. Mark's Church in the early 1980s, where she also taught highly regarded workshops. Her work Memory is a multimedia tour de force in which she took a roll of film per day for a month and then recorded a narration for the context of each image. Among other accolades and accomplishments, including a Guggenheim Fellowship, her latest book, Milkweed Smithereens, has been long listed for this year's prestigious Penn Jan Stein Book Award. I first came to be personally acquainted with Bernadette through friends who were her students at Naropa and in New York. I remember when Leanne Brown's Tender Buttons Press published Mayer's sonnets in the late 80s. This was a monumental event for poet publishers of my generation. One of our small presses had published a high-profile author. Bernadette, along with her partner Philip Good, were amongst the first guests on Poet Radio, appearing on the program in January 2016. I thought to play some excerpts from that occasion today, but then uncovered some other recordings I made since then, so I'll just recommend to interested listeners that they go find that show in the WGXC archive. On the day Phil and Bernadette came over to Hudson, we also used the WGXC studios to record a couple of poems for the Poetry Foundation. I will start this tribute with a very short poem we recorded that day. This will be the first time it has been broadcast on the radio anywhere. And what's especially fitting here is that when Bernadette was at the station that day, I heard her say, "Windrowing" was her favorite poem of all time.
Windrowing. Abide with me, don't ever abide. Give me any time a pile of leaf hay across the field underneath the new bright blue tractor pulling the tether, which is the waffler or fluffer.
Another poem we recorded in the WGXC studio that day, Conversation with the Tatsawatsa House. Let's take a listen to that now.
Conversation with the Tatsawatsa House. Bernadette. Oh, sweet, delightful house, why do so many things get lost in you? House, maybe you just dream you lose them. Bernadette, how do you know what dreams are? I pride myself on knowing everything you know. Oh, so you know we're getting you new windows. I have trouble with no and no, with new and new, too. Why do people do that? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't mean I don't know. See, you make it hard for a house. Anyway, I don't usually speak. Do you write poetry? I dabble. I don't know if it's poetry or prose, though. It's prose. It's shaped like you. What about my roof? That would be a concrete poem. Even the time the tree fell through it? That would be a different genre, perhaps conceptual art. I'd like to climb mountains. You can leave me whenever you want, but I'm stuck with you. What was it like when people prayed in you? It was kind of creepy. I like the Jewish people better. More love of life. People can do anything they want to me. I'd like to be more proactive. I'm just stuck here. Even a cult could move in. I've never been a therapist for a house. How was your childhood? Were you born? I was made of mostly local stuff. Don't set me on fire. I tremble every time you light that wood stove. There was no heat when we moved into you. There were also 24 doors. Don't blame me. I didn't do it. You didn't do anything but be here like an immobile tree, but you provided shelter. Can houses tremble? Do you have a sex life? None of your business. The sex life of houses isn't known to humans, nor will it ever be. You seem to have mastered grammar, but not homonyms. I like it when I was unoccupied, full of birds' nests on the porch and ghosts inside. I felt fulfilled. How did you like the Hebrew books? They reminded me of my bat mitzvah. You never told me you were Jewish. I thought you'd never ask.
That was Bernadette Mayer reading Conversation with the Tatsawatsa House. That was at WGXC in 2016. The next track I would play was recorded at Bard College in March 2015. This is her reading at Bard in its entirety.
This is a payment for some Mohican land. 30 guilders in Suwan, 8 blankets, 25 ells of duffel, 4 fathoms of stouting, 20 shirts, 6 guns, 50 pounds of powder, 50 bars of lead, 4 caps, 10 cattles, 10 axes, 10 adzes, 2 pounds of vermilion, 20 scissors, 20 looking glasses, 100 fish hooks, 100 awls, 100 nails, 4 rolls of tobacco, 100 pipes, 100 bottles of rum, 1 barrel of beer, 200 knives, 10 coats, 14 kettles. That's not much beer. This is a poem about geology. I was studying in a field guide, and it wound up as the introduction to Richard Grossinger's book, The Night Sky. So it's about geology and the night sky. It's called Geology Sky of Geology Night. The nuclear cooking of free electrons creates spirals, oolitics or pistolitic. It's stalactitic, wheat sheaf. I vanish into the universe like a wave, cosmologically, while you are a crenellated coxcomb. Let's be twinned, rolling into a ball of wind and water, made out of time. Crystals all have symmetry. Stars should be quickly damaged if worn as jewelry. Jupiter's magnetism, conducive to the heat, unlike a ruby or sapphire, a painted ball, a Saturnian system. A topaz is not a potato, but a potato can be like a heart. The night sky, geology sky, bye-bye, the night pigeon sky, the pearly silky luster of your opalescent heart glimmers like a sequel to a night sky, the prequel being splendid like an opera in a small hall. The pyramids are closed. Desdemona will collide with Cressida or Juliet in 100 million atomic structures like a bird of geologic light years. Superstring theory might be astrology, the plump indigo fruit of a crystal system, falling hail of telepaths. It's so unlikely we'd be here. Flat, lustrous surfaces, orthorhombically, or just minerally, archetypes, complex or simple, in the breezeway. Every specimen can be cut by a knife or corundum, till political spirit fuses with shamanic allies. It's all good. Takes a chance with absence of meaning through goblins, rather oolitic if not massive. If you drop it though, like tomato plants told eons ago to slow down in 2013, it becomes mammillary, even reniform, then hackly or blocky. Copernican modernity swelled with Homer and the Basques. But when it refreezes, it grows splintery or botryoidal. Oh, the way a mineral fractures can sometimes help identify it. Equal areas, equal spaces, equal times, equal rights for women, their beautiful and often elegant crystal form, universal gravitation has a slow cadence when rolling down the hill, regular geometric shape and smooth crystal surfaces. Melville's whale is a woven to some, dark matter to my twin, easily broken into a pattern by cutting or hammering. I'm in love with a great attractor, my dog Hector. Sectile can be cut by a knife into thin shavings, his free streaming length determining the size of his grave. Malleable can be hammered into thin sheets like gold or copper, from which Hector could become another agglomeration, and stretching credulity till the zodiac devours transduction. Minerals with a hardness exceeding that of the street plate. Bold weevils eat the vine that annihilates native plants by growing too fast. Luster is modified by transparency. They float into the sky. Ammonia is methane, carbon, oxygen. They may seem softer than they actually are, or as hard as quartz. In the orgone envelope of the world, they are flying chariots. This is a poem I wrote for Alice Motley a long time ago. It's called, Why Aren't We Drinking Rheingolds Tonight? The crazy horse is open. It's a beautiful night, a big white snow. Two little girls laughing. It's a little night. I just went down for bubbles and a pie. All the hard edges are becoming soft. There's excitement in the air. I'm drinking my last Rheingold beer. The Rheingold Brewery in Parsippany is closing down. There used to be a brewery in Brooklyn around the corner from my house. Lots of kids' fathers worked there. And in the Rheingold Maiden Beauty Contest, each year I voted for the girl with red hair. Actually, the brewery's in Orange and not Parsippany. And in New Bedford, Massachusetts, where the beer leaves for Lenox. It comes to us in brown glass bottles with a red, white, and gold label and the words extra dry printed in black in a horizontal ellipse below the ornate German lettering, Rheingold, and then script, lager beer, brewed with water, barley malt, corn, and imported and domestic hops. It's the cheapest beer we can get here. It's New York beer. It's the Dodger fans' beer. It's the hoard of gold guarded by the Rhine maidens Siegfried and the Nibelungs. It's Wagner's beer in the Nibelungen League and the ring of the Nibelung. It's the beer of the Volsunga saga. And now it is no more. We must drink Rolling Rock from Latrobe, PA, which smells like skunk. And remember the cans, tall and white, 16 ounces, with the red lettering, actually white on a red field. Clean looking cans of beer. Ah, it's cold tonight. There is so little steeping, boiling, and fermenting going on. I am dismal, and I have no beer. This is a poem I wrote for my workshop, and I don't remember what the assignment was, but it'll become apparent. January, our sentient servant server. That means more light. It couldn't be darker. The hipsters from Bushwick take their leave, remembering to bring babies and dog. Winter is an awful time, and we forget to drink the champagne. So wherever we are, it'll still be last year. Our hinterlands are still populated with loved tarragon and attack cats. And though it snows, it's not snowing. There's a rhythm to our champagne drinking. These are some of the hipsters from Bushwick. It was Max, Alyssa, and Zola, Jeffy, Polly, Yui, and Henry. I closed the door, and you know what? Titwillow created a fancy hollow that wasn't there, and I thought, is my perception very interesting? If I grew up, maybe it would be, but I am not me, I am you, and you are everything I know. So nice to meet you, Mr. Everything's easy for you. So let's put three white bricks among the traditionally red bricks to see if anybody notices, because babies can spot things like that. And I am just skidding from the past over to the future, lane skipping the present one entirely, because I am not happy with me. I want some pi-eternal clusters like Phil went to the dump. You know, American Indians had no garbage. Wrappings are especially stupid in this, our current life. But will there ever be another? Could we ever be Native Americans? Which we are now, but feel free to throw tomatoes at us as we walk down the road, watching out for the randomness of icky times, just a bunch of the letters of the alphabet with magnets, so they'll stick to the metal refrigerator in which there's no future except for the rattling of the ice cubes it doesn't make. And besides, there's 10 bags for each baby who makes the sky do something amusing, even when it doesn't. Just don't join me. I'll be there where pies are eternal, and I'm eating a meatless pie. So come in and we'll feed you bacon for every occasion. This handkerchief is not so absorbent and quizzical like a crenellation. Quizzical, crenellation, classical, jazzical. These are a couple of writings that include every letter of the alphabet. I don't know why I was doing this, but I was doing it. The chef wore a toque on his xylophone-shaped head. Do you have any maple syrup? It was back under the figs. Are you jesting? Asked his helper. Not very, she replied. This meth is making me dizzy, she said, a whirlwind of recipes swirling in the brain of the helper. By the dumpster, a lilting lion's ghosts, Jodford's queried, VXZ? His friend, Zebra, answered, just take a bow and pretend I'm your ex. This is a workshop assignment that we all did for taking sources and using them instead of the nouns in a poem. And this is based on that famous Robert Burns poem, My Love is Like a Red-Haired Rose. My love is like a red Indian, my book was electronics. My love is like a red Indian indicator that's newly sprung in thermoelectric assembly. My love is like an auto range interface that's sweetly played in tweezer tip-sock sets. As fair thou art, my bonnie bit drivers, so deep in matrix displays am I. And I will love thee still, my dear, when all the toroid cores gang dry. When all the tubings gang dry, my dear, and the banana binding posts melt with the clamshell cases. I will love thee still, my dear, while the dual alpha numeric displays display. Let's have some beef tornado. The Florida panhandle is warm. Oslo is warmer than here. Reykjavik has the northern lights, but nothing stops the spring. Are you now, or have you ever been, spring resistant? Did you come here for that reason? Oh no, it's snowing and the sun is out. Even in Siberia, spring comes. Touch me not, orchid, ranunculus, nasturtium, alyssum, dandelion, oxeye, daisy. This is something we did. You write a poem and you collect everybody's poems, and in this case the poems are about the price of milk, and then you choose one to rewrite, but what your purpose in rewriting it is to annihilate the knowledge of any human being behind it. So let me know if you think it works. The millet's prickly pear. Bibbidi-bobbidi spill. It's not true. Chocolate, strawberry, vanilla. Wild vanilla, kadush. Left on rescue mission. The refrigerator is like a refeed. Farkleberries have spilled it. Methuselah's mesothelioma. On the ground for metazoans. Flipper flutes make children follow like boomerangs. My coffin is caffeinated. My garage door is closed. Nunc dimittis spill. I put a little book louse on top of the sard. It's a red-orange version of Shoshone chalcedony. If after going around the corner, you turn left and dance out of logic, as opposed to the waltz, it's the mashed potato. Sarsaparilla sorbet at the bar for when you get too old for jujubes and nonpareils, but maybe you've lost all your marbles. From drinking too much sassafras tea, it'd be a shame for the war on linearity. To recover, you'd have to live your life over. ADOCADOPANACEA, etc. Silvery cumulus exact a price, the sky and the land become golden, like in Miami, Ohio, on the Trail of Tears. And then I stopped writing it because, you know, I've written so many times about the Trail of Tears, it began to get boring. So, first lesson, always whimpering existence, you son of an upstart immigrant test. Words on paper don't need end. Ye old town shippy, bursting with hippies, star-studded, ugly as usual, useful as peaches. This is a poem by Kenmore Domsley. What's her full name? Karma kaleidoscope evokes effervescent exchanges, nuptials, nonpareil nub, nuzzle novices, weird web, wedded weirds, accolades and accomplishments accrete, reversible reveries, rhapsodic returns deflect demons. Arguments arise. Armistices abound. Art nullifies nubile nostalgia, neuralgic no-nos. Denouement, dependable duo. Juggling John's joyous junkets, union upkeep urgent, upward undulations underfoot. Nesting needs non-stop nebulae, earned, ecstatic earmark, mark, elegiac echoes. One of my favorites. Mm. This is a sonnet by me. It's called Something I Can't Say Here. You don't exist if the leaves are inept. Come by, peonies of all the colors. Mommy, the twilight zone is on. I love you. Not as fire escape view or epic cartoon. You are my father in his gray overcoat. You let me let Edwin see what's up, that in my vagina would fall a drop of cock, and it would be in the daylight and night, so that Theater A mayor with a cup had a son, and late for school I was to tend the Bill Berkson tombs. Do you want to go to them? Said creamy God. There are little bits of turkey in the sauce. And why did I happen to see your photograph? Know you as equal, am I so as I you. I'm sorry, I read that last time wrong. Know you as equal, not am I, so as I you. Taking the humbler path for Ron Padgett was excellent advice from Ron. In a dream, I fell. We were walking in the rush hour, got pushed into a snowbank by a man in a Bentley, and climbing over, I fell in like, there's no space between words in that line. Climbing over it, I fell in like Greek and Latin. Scared at first I'd lose the bottom, but now I can get the five good cookies to eat and compare with the five sweet cupcakes I wanted in the first place from the origins of the alphabets of the world. So, think twice. And this is about, I'll end with a poem by Clark, which I've always wanted to read to pretend I was Clark. In the land of Ugladi, stop stooping distance from the renal tailpiece, wore the universe to the very, mangling Clark's poem. I'm going to start over. It's called A Roll of Candy Doodling. In the land of Ugladi, stooping distance from the renal tailpiece, wore the uniform to the very edge, clasping of the mudguard. Progress hornblower was a liar. They never set his pants on fire. It all came due on Whiteman's Day, metallurgy of a log. But there's a low-line limiter, and Jimmy Semester is lifting it. Drifts and breaths all hauled away, a general snuffing, a total rolling, just no end to these shiftless witnesses, but there'll come a day. Thank you.
That was a recording of Bernadette Mayer reading her poems at Bard College in March 2015. In 2018, St. Rocco's Poetry Collective, based in Albany, began a tradition on the winter solstice of hosting a marathon reading of Bernadette's Midwinter Day, a book-length poem capturing and supposedly written in Lenox Mass on the winter solstice in 1978. I have participated in these readings three times now, including on the one occasion where the event occurred at the Mayor Good household in East Nassau. For the rest of the show tonight, I will broadcast segments of Bernadette reading from the book. Here she is reading the last section of Part 1 at her home in 2019. You are listening to Poet Radio on WGXC, paying tribute to Bernadette Mayer.
Oh, please feel free to get up and get things if you want. Your echoic lips dispel the pretty dream scene. I ask you then for toys and quick machines and Romanesque and Grecian westerns with lions. This eats this better than this. I dream the dull moon's rehearsal for a day is a leaf spread like muffins with butter from the trees. I just ate 30 of them, 31, or 32, or 33, or 34. Soon, my life is at least half over. Yet your secret lovers, still asleep, must fear the world's displeasure as of a mother if she dreams of a man at whom a pie was thrown, if she dreams of awakening alone. It's the Annunciation again. I hate the dreadful patience of all these saints, these cold, stunned flies, can't even move, lying casually covered in pain everywhere near my bitten neck, my drafty desk, my lesbian pencil. And so they bite me, winter flies. They can't die as quick as I. Rush to the window to know the time of day and what's across the street to meet us when we awake. I'm impatient with excitement to invite you to share what can't be seen. Every morning I think I've become the new weather, like embroidering something after, trying to remember the half-lives of dreams, a day halfway between fall and spring, to which I bring the past will rest exchanged as forgetting, but for you, to whom I turn to sing. From the vigil sleep has kept, will arise, hopefully with vigor, like an unwise plant. We'll come to our senses excited and lively, like a watch on the eve of a festival. My devotions are held by such an eye to you. If I'm going to die, I think your portrait formally... I'm sorry. If I'm going to die, I think I'll paint your portrait formally to make us feel important, in a style filled with messages, and learned, as if we're famous. I wonder what I see. Children cry at everything. They don't know logic like a habit. You hide, though another admires it. Your bent for secretiveness or mystery, gratuitous benefits, like if humans could fly. I still think sheep for sleep and not being learned yet at all. Not only did Stein write at night, but for mornings, she's forbidden remembering. I remembered to put out a pencil for myself. Otherwise, a sweet Shakespeare. I did want more. Sense of senseless helplessness. If fear's not reformed like a Catholic before he can begin again. Better for her to forget it. What was it? I said nothing. I said surely I would have to change from being this drunken, unreformed sybarite to being a more sober mother. It was nothing forbidden, just fruit for more sleep, the way sleep can also be ideal. Hawthorne never wasted paper, his hands so cramped by the Berkshire weather. He fit more words in. Remember when William Shirer put cherry gelatin in my drink in the dream? And then the mail truck came to his studio and lurched and pinned me down. I was involved in creating a soup with pickles in it. It was the perfect soup. There's no end to these dreams. If only I could remember to solve problems. What does hot pickles connote? I dream the streetlight on my face. If only loss were less exotic. What time is it? I used to feel one way as a child awakening. And do they, once went on forever, new, now athletic in the seasons, like poetry. I am refusing to understand what I mean. But you're doing some kind of moving too. Insensate concatenations of two minds banging things in bed. Bed's a solid word. What's this lethargy in limbs? I don't seem to prove I'm not so old.
Now I'm somewhat old. The winter is old. We dream, we yell, making unheard of noises. It's sweet to wake to some extent. I wonder what we'll be like when we're really old. Some old people live on one can of soup a day. The soup of too much thought seems to be making us rusty and hungry. I remember dreaded childhood awakenings in the ice-cold room, wondering if there's time to put laid-out clothes under covers to warm them before a rush to dress, sometimes forgetting some of the underwear grandfather wouldn't waste teeth. They shoveled coal into a furnace. The room was still a dark one. These pillows are walking away with my affections, waking in Great Barrington almost perfectly in the path of the rising sun, so as never to miss anything, going to sleep there alone in the dark, silent, isolated house with so many secret rooms, not my house. Usually, here are dreams, the unexpected. There are dreams of the unexpected secret room down a hallway which extends the house into the room, into the world. This room happens to be red, white, and blue. I wonder what are some new things to drink. Breathing love, do I deprive you of anything? Tea is always something to drink. Ted once said cheese wasn't food. A long day in which to reform all this adoring to something. What is it? It's bad enough in midwinter if nothing else happens. I might get used to becoming you, and no one would think that was good. Then I'd feel lost as a simple body. We are not going to exactly the same task every day, and beginning with warm feet, you are too nervous anyway. We repeat a lot because of the children, which I can't get used to saying. They don't know logic at all. It's okay to say kids, but when someone says the kid, I don't like it. Small babies or infants are supposed in the mythology to be women's penises. I meant to say psychology. Marie would like to have one, so she puts a shirt or a ruler between her legs. I think she thinks about her diaper as a penis, and so she doesn't want to lose it, Mabel said. We forget how comfortable they are. What did I ever lose anyway? Not a hair of her head. Here's my lessons. I never used it, like your father's diplomas. He's a lawyer and a real estate agent, but never practiced. What an isonine use of the word, either of them, like the pencil in my dream. I wonder if Chad is still in the electricians' union. Is it so wrong to steal rightly? Just like memory, who needs it badly? An affectation like a scarf pulled worn jauntily, or the noise of the buttons on my cuffs, brushing the bed in time to a rhyme. Marie hears every noise the same. She doesn't hear anything. The bed is like a typewriter. Sometimes I think the bed's a refrigerator with the holographic head of a man in dichroic color to be seen in ambient light on the door. I mean, the cover of the book, the bed is. You do look the same all the time, some of the same things, until the names of objects might as well fall off. Then maybe you die. That's the scare of mornings. It's loose or lush like this or blood, but darker than it ought to be. It all has a beauty and a structure I haven't seen all of yet, like a story. I always forget the most important part.
Go back, black, to sleep's gray. Who'd ever read it anyway? Mm-hmm. Only the ones who already know me. It's no great mystery. At this late history might pass us by as a group of unrelated people ordered out of the same house. We could be better poets just on the phone. I better hurry to accommodate family to see what's going to happen with them today. Every morning's the same dawning before it's talked about or told, like a dull man who wanted to tell the dream he had of you a week ago. Then he never said it. He just said it was recurrent. Doesn't everybody know everything or not? Mm. Please let me know. Isn't the truth always the same, firm as a tree? Is it an accident or pose that I say what I say? Can I look into the dream and then run away? Then I'll tell you each day is different. A tree, it's true, can be thought to be you. I don't know logic either. Babies are as if insane. Doesn't something, whatever it is, seem so diagrammed, not like a sentence, not like turning over to have another dream, but the consequent test? What I mean is, once life begins, it has a stasis or a balance or a standing that is what it is. It's not mechanical. What strange is this? Eyes, windows, children, words, even the seasons, not to speak of feelings. Sleep, ships, gray, deck paint on the floor of an immobile house. The ship's deck of cards is spilling into the ocean unwittingly. I can't remember anymore. I have to see something new, like a model or a star, so concerned with the figure of sun before air through the window like a page near the invented bed we share in a room we rent for shelter from the elements as I am to speak and I look out. There's no fiction in it. The supplicating weather is either this or that. Today, it's that saintly gray so far. There's nothing to it. Sleep is so morose, so loose and slack, to slip and sink in something like a lapse of something natural and regularly recurring, in a condition of lack of what we call conscious thought, sensation, movement, even love, just like death I slept. Now I know enough to ask, what do you hear when I listen? This morning I have both a heart exchanging a guilty love for everyone, for love is the same. And you, what your substance and whereof are you born? What millions of strange shadows on you tend? Since everyone has, everyone, one shade, and you but one can every shadow lend. There's something I want to say, I don't know how to put it. Brightest sun that dies today lives again as blithe tomorrow. But if we dark suns of sorrow set, oh then, how long a night shuts the eyes of our short light. Don't take what I say too seriously or too lightly. I'm sorry, never mind. I was just playing around. I'm trying to find what I guess I'd rather know consciously. I'd like to know what kind of person I must be to be a poet. I seem to wish to be you. Love is the same and does not keep that name. I keep that name and I am not the same. You, Shakespeare, Edwin Denby, and others, Catullus, I've nothing else to say. The anonymous blue sky is gray. I love your being in my unresisting picture. All love seen, all said, is dented love saluted. In the ending morning, nothing said is mean. Perhaps it's too long. I'm only learning
along with Love's Morning, to invent a song. Then, for the breadth of words, respect me for my dumb thoughts, speaking in effect. This was my dream. Now it is done.
What was delightful about hearing the reading in the company of the author was hearing Bernadette's responses to some of the passages some 40 years later. It's fair to say she enjoyed a few happy laughs, to say the least. This book is truly unique and brilliant. A few titles I am aware of so ably capture the unusual lives and ways a poet might think about being an artist, a parent, and a member of a small town rural community with a refined urbane perspective. In 2020 and 2021, the Midwinter Day reading hosted by St. Rocco's was held online, and the 2022 edition was actually held earlier this month at the Lenox Library and served as a type of public celebration for Bernadette. As I mentioned at the start of my segment in Lenox, I always thought of Bernadette as an important teacher, even though I never formally studied with her. Various things about the way she lived, her dedication to the craft of poetry, were very instructive to me. It was always a wonder to be in her company in orbit. The next recording I made online during the 2020 online Midwinter Day event, it's featuring Bernadette reading the first few pages of the book.
Stately, you came to town in my opening dream. Lately, you've been showing up a lot. I saw clearly you were staying in the mirror with me. You walk in, the hills are green. I keep you warm. Placed in this cold country, in a town of mountains, replaced from that balmier city of yours near the city. Now it's your turn to fall down from the love of my look. You stayed in the hotel called your daughter's arms. No wonder the mother's so forbidding, so hard to embrace. I only wait in the lobby, in the bar. I write. People say, what is it? I ask if I must tell all the rest, for never since I was born, and for no man or woman I ever met, I'll swear to that, have there been such dreams as I had today, the 22nd day of December, which, as I can now remember, I'll tell you all about if I can. Can I say what I saw in sleep, in dreams, and what dreams before your return, turning arms took me like a memory to the room I always returned to. When thought turns to memory's best love, I learned to deny desire from an acquired habit of vigilant fear, till again to my nursed pleasure and this love reappear like a story. Let me tell you what I saw. Listen to me. You must be. You are the beginning of the day. When we are both asleep, you awaken me. I'm made of you. You must hear what I must say. First, I thought I saw people all around me, wondering what it is I write. I saw up close the faces of animals. I slid down the long grassy hill, past everything, everybody doing everything. I was going faster. There were no streets to cross, no dignity lost. A long story without pausing. I was racing with no one to disappear proved of what I was learning. I saw a woman's daughter. We met on the stairs. I saw everything that was ever hidden or happening. I saw that my daughters were older than me, but I wanted to see further. Nobody, including you, of all the people doing things, was approving of my sliding like this down the long, tilting hill, past the place to play and all the past. I saw the moon's last quarter in the southern sky at dawn. Then I saw the shawls of the dream as if they were the sky, and the dream's dark vests, and the dream's collar and cuffs of black leather, and the dream's black leather jackets. I was alone in the dream's dressing room, trying on different styles of rough gangwear or rain gear, In the dream, my daughters Sophia and Marie are always with me. Then we climb a mountain to the Metcalf's house. Nancy's fixing us the 18 intricate courses of a Japanese dinner. We sit at a counter curving around the kitchen, like what they call a kidney-shaped pool, eating hearts of heads of wet red and green lettuce in the most high and palmy state of friendly love. Then Paul takes us all on a trip. A while ago, the Japanese lady who lives next door smiled when Marie smelled the fragrance of her cultivated rose. Sometimes dream is so rampant, so wild, as to seem more luxuriant than day's repose. So without riot spreading everywhere, how can I be both here and there? Then I found a message on an oversized book on the way to Allen Ginsberg's nursery school, where Ken Kesey was conducting a big picnic. Then I saw all of the buildings of New York drawn to look like illustrations in a children's book. I dreamed the road was so slippery from a truck's oil spill, we had to stop at a truck stop, though our friends who are ahead of us might lose us. All the food in this place is served in a big dollhouse, and the salads in a hat box. They're catering to us. It's hilarious. Suddenly, we all crack up. We say, you don't just eat from the desire to see a vine, which today is called a chicken sandwich. You do seem to eat because you wear a hat, and so the hat box is empty and must be filled with food. Do you see what I mean? It's a special restaurant. I was with Grace Murphy. Then I dreamed I was ordering pom-poms, not those ornamental tufts on hats, and not chrysanthemums, but a kind of rapid-firing machine gun. Really, I can't figure out what's good and what's bad. I know I want to awaken feeling some remembered of perfection, for which I crave a homeopathic dose of evil, like the hair of the dog in the proverb, to offset the unsteady state of memory. What man or woman could this be involving? So fleet is it is, indulging in not quite flying, but dreaming, flaunting the short-lived continuity of a second, like of a sound, like hummingbirds. What is a story? Can I say that here? Or should I wait till wherever the question of life's chronology of satisfying the favored senses might better gratify the failing course of the grave day? As I must come closer to inevitably waking up, like a dying woman is dying, spoiling the favor you might grant me to extend this liberal time and remit my punishment due, though I've confessed already and been forgiven. Are you going to convince me there's nothing more to dream up, like sins not committed, but related anyway, to cover innocence, always listening to everything you say, watching the sounds of the day? Wouldn't it be possible to eat everything, all the collected foods, even you, and oneself, like the dinosaurs dying out in some unaccountable, hungry fall, cunningly saint-like? The night cometh when no man can work. And David saw that Saul had come out to see his work, seek his work. I dream I vault the fence. There is a cheerleader who needs to be kissed and caressed. It's like a blizzard. Like my father, I lost my color wheel when I died. I go vaulting over the consequent fence. And with my ambition, I meet Gregory Peck. I always do. He looks like you. We go to the movies again. We go to two. We always do. And all the children are put, thrust, driven, goaded, impelled, and flung, urged and pushed into bed. Then I can dream we move again to the house where I was born. I'm wandering and forgetting. We are arranging what rooms each of the children will finally sleep in. Can Marie sleep in the hall bedroom, or is Andrew still alive? Andrew, who's like Bill, or Bill's like him. This state of things and dream could kill friendship if I told all, even to Uncle Andrew, who's also a lot like Clark. Anyway, I know we must share this copied house with my grandfather, another Andrew, who is a little mean. Now everybody's here in this room, and we are a party to death. I look at the old uncle, who is still young Andrew or Bill. I am trying to remember where I am. I study his face, but all I see is plain expression, not the look of a man who's dead and knows it, like something or someone nobody absolutely needs to know. I decide not to say anything about it. Already, I've looked closer without moving to him. A man without responses, but that's beyond all this. I say to myself, in dream, it's all the same. All the people in this room will surely die sometime. Who cares which ones are already dead? I'm just here now, in my dream, like I always am, among the charms of sweet Andrew, charming Bill. I can't go on. Is there an end to such love and the duty of dreaming? Things seen, eyes closed, not seeming to be dreams, like the blackest edges once I saw outlining each leaf in spring one year, or the jewels I saw with Grace lying together before a thunderstorm. I could suggest to her then, and she to me, what kind of thing would appear to us next in the train of the vision moving from right to left under love's closed eyes. I hope you can see as much when I try to suggest among lines of the evaporating word what idea I've seen, what image each dream heard. There's no end to the narration of forms from all the ways of looking, eyes closed.
That was Bernadette Mayer reading from Midwinter Day on Zoom in 2020. This brings to an end our tribute to Bernadette Mayer. I hope you have enjoyed the program, and we'll tune in again next month when my guest will be Lainey Brown. I conclude by sending out my best wishes to Philip Good, as well as Marie, Sophie, and Max, Bernadette's children. Be well, everyone.